from a blog post of his, Where the Thinking Stops. By making prayer a part of my daily practice, I discovered a new possibility, faith, a quiet source of strength that became vitally important to me in the years ahead and helped me many times to keep going in difficult situations. By faith, I do not mean belief in something for which there is no evidence. I mean the willingness to open to whatever arises in our experience. The kind of prayer that has been most meaningful to me might be called supplicatory prayer. It plays a central role in the practice of guru yoga, in which you use prayer and devotion to join your mind with your teacher's mind. That joining acts as a kind of bridge to awakening into direct awareness. During another retreat a few years later, I discovered how this form of practice could bring about levels of insight and clarity that had been previously inaccessible to me. Here's the prayer that I have used. I've repeated it literally hundreds of thousands of times and still return to it again and again. Treasured teacher, I pray to you. Give me energy so that belief in self falls away. Give me energy so that I see through life's illusions. Give me energy so that reactive thinking comes to an end. Give me energy so that I know mind has no beginning. Give me energy so that confusion resolves itself. Give me energy so that whatever arises is experience beyond words. He continues, for me, prayer is about reaching out. Naturally, one asks, what are you reaching out to? Even today, I have no answer to that question, at least no conceptual answer. For lack of a better term, I call it the great other. We are reaching out to something that is not us, at least not us as we know ourselves right now. It represents possibilities we can sense or intuit, even if we cannot conceptualize or understand them. So ends our reading. When you hear the word prayer, what does it bring to mind? I'm going to guess that for most people in our society, it probably conjures images like what's on our next slide. Christianity is the majority religion in our culture. Brad, did you get recorded? Okay. I thought that's what you were. Okay, gotcha. Christianity is the majority religion in our culture, and this is what prayer typically looks like there. And so this is the kind of image that generally is going to occur to most of us when we hear the word prayer. This sort of prayer is coming from a theological place where the person directs their prayer vertically to an omnipotent God above. And so when most of us think of prayer, we consider that giant power differential between with that kind of a connotation of prostration, of supplication between the omnipotent and the powerless. And I'll admit that that was my understanding of what prayer was too. A few weeks back at the question box service, one of you asked the question, do I pray? And I initially said no, and then I modified my answer and said rarely. Well, I'm going to modify it again today because my understanding of prayer shifted as I worked on this sermon. And I'm going to change my answer to all the time. And that's because when we start to dig a bit deeper into what is meant by prayer, we can come to appreciate that there are many varieties of prayer with varying purposes. And it's because they all stem from a variety of theologies, including secular ones. This, what's on the slide, is merely a form of prayer. So I ask us all to put aside or do our best to put aside what our culture tells us prayer is, and instead let's consider what prayer can be. What seems to be the most universal thing about prayer is rapport and connection and relationship. For many people who practice prayer, their desire for rapport and connection relationship is with the divine, but not always. People also direct prayer to the universe, to nature, ancestors, humanity, a teacher, an event, the self, or even to no one or nothing in particular. So in other words, sometimes people direct their prayers not vertically at 90 degrees, aiming it towards a divine realm, but sometimes people aim their prayers horizontally to the secular realm, to the ordinary around us. Prayer can even be directed inward. And on top of that, there are also angles and positions in between strictly vertical aimed at the divine and strictly horizontal aimed at this world. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to start at 90 degrees. We're going to move to 45 degrees and then go to 0 degrees and talk about what prayer can look like at each one of those. So let's begin at a vertical 90 degrees on the next slide. Prayer has much more variety for theists than we might appreciate at first blush. And that's because theism has great variety. So moving clockwise from the upper left, we have a pagan woman praying to a tree, Tibetan Buddhist prayer flags, a Hindu ritual at the Ganges that is combining ritual with prayer, Jewish men at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and in the middle is a prayer and depiction of the goddess Oshun in Santeria. So theism, meaning belief in some kind of divine or the more than ordinary, includes monotheists of all kinds. And that includes monotheists who think of the divine in abstract or non-personified terms. It includes polytheists, pagans, a huge diverse group of religions that we might call ethnic or indigenous religions, pantheists, deists, transcendentalists, and on I could go. Prayer practices have immense diversity because religions have immense diversity. Prayer meets all sorts of different needs and purposes within all sorts of differing belief systems. Some prayer is highly ritualistic and communal. Others are very personal and meditative. Others are based on repetition or the use of music, and you get the idea. There are many, many forms of prayer techniques and practices. Now, this slide is about the diversity between religions, but there's also diversity within religions that we're going to see on the next slide. And evangelical and Pentecostal forms of Christianity, which I'm depicting on the left here, these have theologies with a very dominant and powerful notion of God. And they assign less agency to people. So these are the kinds of Christians who will say things like, give it to God, with the assumption that God fixes everything. For some of them, God is a sort of dispenser of gifts and favors. And so prayer in these kinds of Christianity is very much about supplication and prostration between the powerless and the powerful. Their prayer, I would say, is very much vertical at 90 degrees. This kind of prayer and this kind of God is in fact not always beneficial or healthy to people. A 2015 study, published with the American Psychological Association found that African-American teens who were struggling with depression, when they had this notion of God and this kind of a notion of prayer, they actually felt worse when they practiced prayer within this kind of a theology. And it's because this theology says that God, not us, can and does improve our lives. So if your life hasn't been improved, the problem is with you. The problem is not with God or the belief system. On the other hand, in different forms of Christianity, that's what I'm depicting towards the right, like we might find in mainline Protestant groups, Episcopalians, Methodists, United Church of Christ, and so on. In their theologies, humans have much more free will than in these types of Christianity. And therefore, we all have responsibility to improve our own lives. They don't see it as God's job to solve all of our problems. And they also don't see it as God's job to materially bless you. So for Christians of these sort, prayer is not so much about supplication as it is about reverence and working with God. That same study I mentioned from the American Psychological Association found that the same kind of African-American teen who was struggling with depression, when they prayed from this kind of a perspective, a mainline Protestant perspective, they actually reduced their depression. It was valuable to them. And it's because they had a greater sense of personal initiative in seeking support and treatment and had a much greater sense of agency and hope. So I would say that this variety of prayer, while it's still vertical, I would say it's aimed a bit less than 90 degrees because it tips a bit towards humans in this world, in the ordinary. So I think it's very much worth reminding ourselves that not all forms of Christianity or other religions as well, that they're not all the same, and therefore not all forms of prayer within them are going to be the same either. Let's move our angle clockwise now, 45 degrees. What would prayer be like when it's between the vertical and the horizontal? That's what I've got on the next slide. Now, I appreciate that the font is too small for you to read. The content is not the important part. I'll explain what it is. So this is a praise prayer to the Roman goddess Diana. And there's no copyright infringement happening because I wrote it. And I wrote it in a Roman style where first you praise the deity. So the first 80% of that or so is all of Diana's titles and the things that make her great. And only after you do that, do you make a request. So my last paragraph is asking for a blessing. There are pagans, both ancient and modern, who might use a prayer like this vertically, aimed at a divine Diana. Well, I've shared with you all before that I love Diana, and depictions of Diana are all over my house. But for me, Diana is not a literal divine figure. For me, she's more of a archetype, a symbol of the things that have spiritual significance for me, like animals and moon and forest. So for me, Diana is a way of capturing natural wonder and beauty and connect me to things that spiritually matter to me. So therefore, when I wrote this, I wasn't aiming it vertically to Diana as a literal divine entity. But on the other hand, I also wasn't aiming it horizontally. Diana means way more to me than the ordinary things around us, and she has for decades. So that's why for me, writing and reciting this prayer is at an angle somewhere in between, neither vertical nor horizontal. And earlier in our reading, we learned about another type of in-between prayer, McLeod-directed prayer, from himself to his spiritual teacher. And that's a prayer practice that's not vertical because it's not being aimed at something divine, but it's not entirely horizontal either. McLeod described his spiritual practice of prayer as a mystery that he can't entirely put into words. He called it reaching out to the great other. So in both of these cases then, me as a non-theist pagan, offering a praise prayer to Diana, and McLeod praying to his teacher, exactly where the angle might be between 90 and zero isn't very important. A prayer practice could be exactly at 45, exactly perfectly between, or it could drift towards the divine or towards this world. That part's not very important. Do keep in mind that I'm using these angles just as an explanatory device. They don't have any real value. The numbers don't matter What is important here is that these two examples show that there are in-between options. So let's keep moving clockwise. Now let's move to the horizontal. What would prayer look like there? Well, I've got an example of that. At the end of a service, when I say things along the lines of, "It is my wish that each and every one of us," I don't believe I have supernatural powers that I'm bestowing on each of you, or that I have a UU magical wand that somehow is going to spread that blessing around the congregation. But on the other hand, I mean it. Right? And there's something powerful behind what I'm saying that is far beyond a formulaic expression or everyday conversation. There's some good intentions behind those words that I wish to pass from myself to you. Now, in a standard form of Christianity, that would be called a pastoral prayer, literally a prayer made by the pastor. And in that case, a pastoral prayer would be directed vertically. But in our theological context, pastoral prayers are obviously different. So my pastoral prayer comes out horizontally, from me to you, one human being to another. Well, how else might we offer a prayer horizontally? On the next slide, I've got a few depictions. So I'm going to give a few ideas of other ways we could offer horizontal prayers. Keep in mind, some of these could perhaps be aimed to a specific person or perhaps to a group of people. Or it's possible it's just something we want to put out there. Maybe it's not directed towards anyone or anything in particular. So here's one idea: expressing anger or lamenting grief. And Annie and Brad did that earlier with the psalm, right? The psalms are loaded with lamentations. So we could express our anger or lament our grief. Again, we could do that vertically, but we could also do that horizontally, just unloading it and putting it out there, such as after a disaster. I might have anger at the latest mass shooting, but I don't necessarily have anyone to aim it to, but I still might want to just say it, get it out, put it into the universe. So that's one idea. A second idea could be granting or asking forgiveness from people that we can no longer have a conversation with directly, like our ancestors, departed loved ones. Maybe we want to grant or ask forgiveness to ourselves, or maybe to no one in particular. Maybe we just want to ask it. Third could be to share our gratitude and thanks. Maybe to our ancestors, to nature, to the universe, or just because. Fourth idea, provide a blessing or wish luck to someone. Luck, once upon a time, did have a supernatural connotation. It's stuck in our culture. The supernatural connotation has faded away, but the sentiment has remained, right? When we wish someone luck, there's still an intention behind that. We still sort of, in a way, are bringing something from ourselves to that person. But we could provide a blessing or wish luck to someone, or maybe even to a group of people like first responders or public officials. A fifth sort, and that's what's being depicted here towards the right. This white and red image is coming from the American Heart Association, and it's depicting what's called a loving kindness form of meditation. It originates from Buddhism, but lots of other folks have begun to get clued in the fact that this is actually a very helpful and healthy form of internal prayer or meditation. So in this type of meditation, you ask for compassion and love first in the self, and then you think of someone you know well, then you move to your community and so on until, if you can, you sort of imagine yourself up above and looking at everyone and trying to issue your compassion and love outward to the planet, to humanity. So what I'm encouraging us all to think about is that when we have something we wish to express, whether to someone or no one, and there's something important or powerful behind it that's more than just everyday conversation, but almost as though we have something to give or unload or pass on, couldn't we call those things prayers in a horizontal way? Now, someone could push back at me saying that and say, aha, but you just used the words blessing and gratitude and lamentation. Therefore, those things are not prayers. They're blessings and they're gratitudes and they're lamentations. To that, I would respond, is it possible that our notion of prayer is so dominated by this? Is it possible our notion of prayer is so dominated by this cultural image that it becomes challenging for us to categorize those things in any other way or see other options? And I think a good case could be made for that. And it was true for me. That's why I've modified my answer to the question, do I pray? I've now changed my answer 3 times. And do keep in mind the meanings of lots of words overlap. Right now, are we in a building or a structure or a church or a sanctuary or on the top floor or inside? They're all true. Which one we use is going to depend on context and nuance, but also our personal stylistic preferences. So here's what I see as our chief takeaway for the day. All of the prayer possibilities and practices that we explored today fit within the notion of what prayer can be when we shift our definition of prayer from this to the next slide, to a more universal idea of what prayer can be. When we use prayer in a more global way, prayer is about expressing ourselves in meaningful ways in an effort to reform that rapport and that connection and that relationship with someone or something. And we could strive to create that rapport, connection, and relationship vertically, to something divine, to something supernatural. We could strive to create rapport, connection, and relationship horizontally with ourselves, with other people, with anything that is part of the ordinary world. And there are also many options that exist in between vertical and horizontal, depending on our own theologies and depending on what our spiritual goals might be. So in other words, prayer can be a spiritual practice for anyone if we care to, and it isn't predicated on a certain set of beliefs, nor does it require endorsement of the supernatural. Is it a spiritual practice that could be for you? Well, only you can say, but it's my prayer that some of you will consider what forms of prayer may be helpful to you and give them a try. A new spiritual practice carries the potential for new sources of insight and meaning in our lives. And may it be so.
Now we're